5 years?
Yeah, it'd be 5 years in January.
5 years in January. And it started off in a great way where I went to some of his events. Dad went down and spoke. He's going to tell you more about that. But what I would like to say, just in summation, is we've traveled, and we traveled quite a bit. There was a two-year period where every month we were somewhere. Yeah, and a lot of times we were in two different places.
Yeah.
And as a coach, as a mentor, personally, I learned more from Howard in those 2 years as far as my own career and what I'm trying to do than any time of my life. So when I say I wholeheartedly support, love, endorse, recommend Howard, I'm talking about it not just from a business-to-business relationship and not just from a personal friendship relationship, but I've seen results in my own life. And so it's always a privilege when you're here. And man, he's worked with so many businesses through the years, owned so many businesses through the years. If you ask him a question that stumps him, I want to know about it because I haven't seen that happen yet. So please.
Then I'll just ask Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Give it up for Mr. Tom Ziegler. Yes, and to be here at Ziegler headquarters is certainly an honor, a privilege. That man right there, Zig Ziegler, touched an estimated 250 million lives. How many of you would agree that the wisdom of Zig Ziegler is more important today than ever before, right? Now, what happens when you combine that timeless wisdom of Zig Ziegler with business systems? We have a word for that. By the way, my company name, I'm Howard Partridge with Phenomenal Products. And so everything in my world is phenomenal. I might ask you how you're doing once in a while today, and the answer is?
Phenomenal.
All right. Well, we had a little bit of a branding issue when I started working with Ziegler because, you know, you ask me how I'm doing, and I say?
Phenomenal.
Right. You ask Zig how he was doing. Does anybody know what his response was?
Phenomenal.
Was better than good. All right. So you say, you know, how you doing, Zig? He said, well, I'm doing better than good and getting better, right? So we said, are we going to go with phenomenal? Or are we going to go with better than good? So here's what we came up with. You ready for it? Better than phenomenal. All right. So how are we doing?
Better
than phenomenal. That's right. And if you're not convinced of that yet, you will be by the time we get done. So I want to recognize one more person before we get going today, and that is you. And the reason I want to recognize you is because you're investing your time, you're investing your energy, and I can tell you that other than the grace of Almighty God, the people that He's put in my life, that doing what you're doing right now has made the most difference in my career. I love sitting in that seat almost as much as I like doing this, right? Because that's how you get there. In fact, my philosophy is this. Is get around people who are already doing what it is that you want to do and follow them, model them. And that's why I follow that great man right there. That's why I followed Zig Ziegler to start with, is because that is a man that I can model, right? That's a man that I can follow because this man made it 86 years in his life without a blemish on his reputation, right? I mean, that's an accomplishment today, right? So one more time for the Zig Ziglar Corporation for making this possible. Yes, yes. Zig said this. He said, you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind. And my hope today is to help you put some new things into your mind so that you can go to a new place. How many of you have some goals? Right? How many of you have a place that you want to go, right? So you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone in your mind. You can change what you are and where you are. I read all of the surveys back there. That's why we do it the way that we do it, is while Tom's up here teaching, I can go through and I can learn about you. And I can tell you that I understand. And the thing is that you want to have a different reality in your life, right? You want to have a different reality in your business, and that's what today is all about. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember why you went into business for yourself to start with? Was it to make a lot of money? Or was it really to be your own boss, to chart your own course, to have a little more free time? Yeah, right. The brutal reality of most small business owners' lives, you feel like a slave to the business, very little family time. Business consumes your mind 24/7. It's major stress, no real freedom. You feel like you have a job instead of a business. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? All right, we're in the right place. Now, there's some of you that don't feel like that. You love what you do, and we should love what we do, because if we don't love what we do, we need to get out of that. But the thing is that most of us are involved in things that maybe we shouldn't be involved in our business, or trying to handle things that maybe we shouldn't be involved in. And there are some stress points in our business, just like there are stress points in our lives sometimes. Well, I know how that feels because I've been there, done that. I'm originally from L.A., Lower Alabama. And my wife doesn't laugh at my jokes either, so it's okay. All right. But I actually grew up very poor in Mobile, Alabama. We grew up on welfare. There were seven kids crammed in a little 600-square-foot shack. And the roof on this house was so bad that every time it rained, we had to get out all the pots and pans to catch the leaks. My mother fed us on $100 a month from the welfare department. I don't care when that was. It just wasn't a lot of money. And when you grow up in an environment like that, what are you likely to turn out like? For me, I was a rebellious teenager, 18 years old, got kicked out of the house by my stepdad, and I deserved it, by the way. I was rebellious. I deserved every bit of it, but I had no money, like zero money. My buddy and I had to bum up $39.95 for a Greyhound bus ticket to Houston, Texas. Why Houston, Texas? My dad, my real dad, who I'd only met twice in my whole life, lived in Houston. I met him when I was about 15, and I met him once shortly before this happened. And the reason was my sister was there living with him at the time, and he had become very successful. And I thought, I just need a change, right? So I climb off of this Greyhound bus with literally 25 cents in my pocket. I became a waiter in Houston, and I worked at these places. You wear a tuxedo to work, and you know, you do all this tableside cooking and flambe, you know, at the table, and setting stuff on fire inside at that age was pretty cool, let me tell you. You know, Bananas Foster, Steak Diane, Cherry's Jubilee. It was an awesome experience, and I learned a great deal about the customer service experience through those days in the restaurant business. But I always wanted to have my own business, but I just made enough money really to pay the rent. Then I met my wife, Denise Conjet Antoinette Pinella. Now that's Italian. From New Jersey, and I'm from where? Lower Alabama. This is going to be a good match, you know. So my real dad, he buys me a pinstripe suit. My wife tells me to keep my mouth shut because I have an accent. And you know what Zig said about that, right? He said that if you take an old boy from the South, like me, you take him up North and he stays too long, he's going to come back with an accent. He said, but if you take an old boy from the North and you bring him down South and he stays long enough, he'll be talking normal. That's what Zig had to say about the situation anyway. But the thing is that when you marry an Italian family, you don't get wedding presents. What do you get? You get money. We got $3,000 cash in wedding money, and there was a friend of the family, same age as me, 23 at the time, tooling around a little red Mercedes convertible, and I said, I want to know what that guy does, and I want to know if it's legal. You know, Italians and all that. Well, my wife's family's not like that, but whatever he's doing, I want to know about it, right? Well, he had his own business. So as soon as I get back to Houston, I spend the entire $3,000 that we have to our name starting that business, and my wife was really thrilled about that. She, you're going to do what with the only money that we have? So I started my first business out of the trunk of my car over 30 years ago, and for the first 13 years, I made good money, but I struggled because everything revolved around me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? I worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I felt like a slave to my business. How many of you know that if you take a vacation as a business owner, that much of that vacation is consumed on that cell phone talking to customers and employees back home, right? That was me. And in 1997, I learned two secrets that changed my life forever. I read a little book called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael E. Gerber, and it changed my life. I learned two secrets from that book. I went to my favorite place in the whole world, Destin, Florida. I sat on the beach for a week, and I rewrote my vision. I rewrote my life vision. I rewrote my business vision. And I came back using the principles from that book. The first thing that I learned from that book is that you got to have systems in your business. And because of that, I was able to transform that business into a multi-million-dollar enterprise. I have 40 team members that love their work. It's a turnkey business so that I can do what I love to do, what I'm called to do, which is what I'm doing right now. And thanks to Mr. Tom Ziegler, became an international business coach and the exclusive small business coach for the Ziegler Corporation. He mentioned Cambridge University when we spoke there. That's a picture in front of Cambridge. And I got to meet the man who wrote the book that changed my life, Michael Gerber. We shared the stage together at convention. We became friends, and he comes and speaks for us about every 2 years. And I talked to him every year on Christmas and on his birthday. I call him on his cell phone. I started calling him on Christmas, and he's like, "Howard, I'm Jewish." And I said, "Well, Michael, everybody loves Christmas, you know. I'm still going to be nice to you. I'm still going to love you, you know." Call him on his birthday, and he's like, "Oh, Howard, you're so nice. You always remember my birthday." So this year, it took a few years, but this year I finally get an email from him, right? And now he's in his late 70s, so my goal is that he'll actually call me on my birthday, not just an email. But anyway, we're just great friends. And I also got to, how many of you are familiar with John Maxwell? So last year I got to be personally mentored by John Maxwell. I've been involved in his organization for quite some time. This is Michael Gerber back in the day when I first started doing seminars. So what happens is I transform my business, and people are liking the systems that I developed. So I started helping small business owners about 2 decades ago. And I meet Michael at a convention, invite him to come down and speak. We become great friends. There's two other things that we're going to talk about during this presentation today. And that is, how many of you understand that all of business is about relationships? How many of you would agree with that statement? Bob Berg probably wrote one of the best books on that I know of, called The Go-Giver. The Go-Giver. And this book goes to the inside of how relationship marketing and business relationships really work, because all of business and all of life really is about relationships, right? The other thing that we're going to talk about is something called experiential marketing. My good friend Joseph Michelli, number one New York Times best-selling author of the Starbucks Experience, Leading the Starbucks Way. He wrote a book on the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. He wrote a book on Zappos, and he's currently working with Mercedes and doing some consulting for them and writing a book on Mercedes that'll be out pretty soon. And of course, all these guys have said some really nice things about me, but I'm most grateful for my relationship with Ziegler. Again, our world needs the wisdom of Zig Ziglar today more than ever before. And part of my mission, part of Jose's mission, the mission of the Ziglar Legacy Certified Speakers is to continue that legacy and to promote that and keep that message going out. That's why I'm so glad that we got, you know, 3.5 million likes on there, that thing's just going viral. We need it today. We just need it today more than ever before. Well, I kind of met Zig Ziglar before I met Zig Ziglar. I was going to this networking group every Monday morning. Now, you have to understand how, you'll understand today how my mind works. I'm just always, I'm the idea guy, and I can't wait to get going. And so Monday morning was like the worst time for a meeting for me, right? But this is when these guys wanted to meet. So I go to this networking group every week, and these guys had a serious case of what Zig called stinking thinking and needed a checkup from the neck up, which, by the way, leads to a very deadly disease. Can anybody tell me what it is? Hardening of the attitudes, right? And they're complaining about the economy. They're complaining that customers won't pay their price. They're complaining about all this stuff. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, I would probably shave. I'd probably wear shoes, you know, they're wearing flip-flops. I'm like, dude, this Monday morning, let's get busy. You know what I'm saying? They literally, you know, I got a sport coat on, a tie, and wear carrying a briefcase and wearing a positive attitude. And they literally laughed at me and said, "Who do you think you are, Zig Ziglar or somebody?" That was like 1994. It wasn't until about 1999 when I met Zig for the first time. I didn't even know him. But I did know this, that when they laughed at me, I knew it was a compliment, right? People would joke about Zig Ziglar, you know, motivation doesn't last. What do you say about that? Yeah, neither does bathing, but we recommend it daily, right? And so the thing is that it was a compliment. So I was so excited to meet Zig. I met him at one of those big, you know, get motivated events. And then I came up here and I met with Margaret here. And before I left there, we had an agreement for Zig to come and speak on my stage at my conference. I do a conference every quarter. And now Ziglar's partners with that conference. And he couldn't come right away, so we filmed a video in that room right there. And this is a shot of that video there. And that was April of 2008. Then he came and spoke in 2008, later in the year, along with Julie. And Tom came, and as Tom will tell you, he sat at the back of the room and just talking to our coaching members and, you know, who is this guy and all this kind of stuff. And then in 2000, along about 2009 to 2011, I just kept coming to Dallas and building a relationship. Remember that all of business is about relationships, right? So I was just investing in that relationship. They asked me to do a few video webcasts for them, and we brought Zig down to one of Bob Berg's events, just building a relationship. And then in about around 2010, Tom calls me. He says, "Howard," he says, "we're putting together what we think might be Dad's last book. It's called Born to Win. And it's his capstone legacy book that covers his 40 years of wisdom and his most important principles. And I want to put a chapter in that book for business owners. And I think I heard at your conference you talking about some quote that you have. And you heard it earlier today. And that quote is this. And this is the greatest business lesson that I've ever learned, and I believe the greatest business lesson that you can ever learn as a business owner, and that is this, is that your business exists for one reason and one reason only, and that is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. You said you have a goal, you have a destination, you have a dream, right? Your business is that vehicle that can take you there. Now, here's the question. The question is, can your business have a dramatic impact on your personal life? Absolutely. Positive or negative, and our goal is that it will be positive. So I said, "That's great, man. I'm going to be quoted in Zig's book. How cool is that, right?" And about, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago, I woke up on a Sunday morning, and Sunday mornings were about the same as a weekday, other than the fact that I went to church. I would get up, and I'd get on my email, I'd start working, start getting stuff done, and we could probably go back and track it because it was January 1st, right? And, you know, January 1st, you want to have a new outlook on life, right? You want to set some new goals and New Year's resolutions and all this. And I felt I heard God say, "Look, on Sundays," and I know it's not technically the Sabbath, but he said, "On Sundays, I want you to rest. I don't want you to do business." I mean, I'd be late for church, and the church is three doors down from my house. I mean, it's literally almost in my backyard. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just terrible, right? And so, awesome. And because of that, by taking that day off to rest and rest my mind and just let the things that are inside, you know, germinate and everything, I became much more productive. And I won't even read a business article or even check my email or any of that kind of stuff on Sunday. And now I've been doing it for, 12, 13 years. I'll have to go back and check. But I did have to drive to the airport because I had to be at a convention on Monday morning. So I said, okay, what am I going to listen to on the way to the airport that's not business? And Zig Ziglar's little spiritual journey CD was sitting there on the corner of my desk. And I said, I haven't listened to that in a long time. I'm going to plug that in. So I plug it in. I'm driving to the airport, listening to his spiritual testimony on spiritual journey. And I pull into the parking spot at the airport, put it in park, and the timing was the exact moment that CD was over. So I step out of my car, I text Tom, and I said, hey, I just listened to Spiritual Journey again. It's great. I always love listening to it. And he texts back almost immediately. He says, funny, we've been talking about you a lot today. It's funny that you had messaged me right now. And I said, well, am I in trouble? I mean, what's going on, And he said, I'll call you next week. So he calls me a few days later, and he said, we've had this full-day consultation. Our entire team went to Chicago. We met with this consultant that they specialize in helping companies find their core competencies, and we feel that we need to go into business coaching and wanted to ask you if you would be willing to partner with us. What do you think I said? I was like, let me get my people to talk to your people. No, it's like after I picked up the phone off the floor, I said, now you know you called Howard, right? This is Howard Partridge, right? You got the right number? Anyway, that's how we got started. And then, as Tom said, we started traveling all around the world. And actually, you know what? It might have been 2012, actually. So 3.5 years. Is that right? I don't do math in public very well. But anyway, I went to Australia, went all over the world, as Tom said. And it's just been a wonderful journey. Got to be the very first certified trainer in the Ziglar Legacy program, which was an honor. And I have 4 published books. They all got at least number one on at least one category on Amazon.com. And I have 3 of them with me today. My 4th one is brand new. And I think we have a few of these with our packages that are bundled up. But I'm going to give away at least one of these first 3 that I have. And you'll learn about those as we go. This is my wife, by the way, Denise Conjet Antoinette Pinella Partridge. And this is my son who peeked out for just a minute. I think he came in here for just a minute. He's here, and he's 22, and we love him very much. But here's what we're most proud of. What we're most proud of is the small business owners around the world who are having record sales and profits. They're getting their businesses organized. They're no longer a slave to their business. They're getting turnkey. They're learning how to market. They're learning how to manage. They're learning the administration part. They're learning how to lead and build their teams. And it is better than phenomenal. I'm always going to take you back over the next 2 days. I'm going to take you back every single time to this. The greatest business lesson that I've ever learned and the greatest business lesson that you could ever learn is that your business exists for one reason and one reason only, and that is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. So how many of you just did the wheel of life here, right? Okay, so Zig said this. He said that success is living a balanced life. How many of you know that I can make a lot of money, but if everything's messed up at home, that doesn't really work? And that all of these things are interconnected, right? I mean, I could be the most religious person in the world and owe everybody in town, and that doesn't really work, does it, right? Now, here's the second part of this. The reason I bring this slide up, I decided to write my first book on these 7 areas. It's called The 7 Secrets of a Phenomenal Life. So I wrote my philosophy on each of these 7 areas. And my early mentor who did the foreword for that book, his name is Bill Beckham, he taught me a very important lesson. He came to speak at one of my conferences, and my company name is Phenomenal Products. And he says, you know, Howard's products are phenomenal, but I'm here to tell you that you are the phenomenal product. You're a special creation. Zig said that the reason for unhappiness and failure is a poor self-image, that most of us have a poor self-image. It's just the way that living in a fallen world, right? We don't have the right image of ourselves. Zig said, you're born to win. You're designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, endowed with the seeds of greatness. You're a phenomenal product. Here's why this is important to your business, and I spent a little time talking about this before we talk about business. We all agreed that our business can have a dramatic impact on our personal lives, correct? Let me ask you a question. You just rated these areas on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, 1 being poor, 10 being phenomenal, right? Which one of those areas are we supposed to be unsuccessful in? But in real life, the answer is none. But in real life, don't we kind of let some of those things just slide a little bit? How many of you have one that's just a little bit more of a challenge for you than the next one, right? For me, it's health. I don't like to exercise. I don't like to eat right. I make myself do it, I'm not nearly... When I do my wheel, it's like there's that flat spot, right? And so the thing is that we're born to win. We're born to win. We're born a phenomenal life, by the way, is being on a scale of 1 to 10, being a borderline 11 on every single one of them. And by the way, this acronym LIFE, L-I-F-E, stands for living in freedom every day. Because there's only two places that nobody else can touch other than you and God alone, and that is your mind and your heart. You are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. And if you continually, consciously put the right things in your mind, there's kind of a law of gravity. It's not really the law of gravity, but it sinks into your heart and you become a different person. See, Zig said it's not what you get when you reach your goals, it's who you become. It's what you become, right? Okay, so I want to give a copy of this away. By the way, give me a couple things that you learned this morning from Tom. What's one thing that you learned from Tom this morning? Treat your people like you treat yourself. Okay. Thank you very much.
Working with the people you're trying to promote with you instead of working with them.
Okay. Great. We're going to do leadership tomorrow. We're going to do systems and leadership tomorrow. We might get to systems today. Depends on how we go. But we'll definitely do leadership tomorrow. And... so you can build the right team. Very powerful stuff. Okay, great. Then Tom calls me after I give him the quote, and he says, hey, Howard, have you ever done a business wheel? And I said, sure, all the time in our business planning. We have, you know, finance and marketing and sales and this and that. And we started working on the last chapter of the Born to Win book, which everything that you're going to learn today was born out of that, and that's what we did our first full-day seminars on, is these five areas. And we came up with these five areas that Tom shared with you earlier. One is marketing. That's everything you do to attract prospects to your business. Sales is everything that you do to convert prospects into paying customers. Operations is everything that you do to service your clients, to go fix their plumbing, to... get them their treatments, install their radiant barrier, their windows, or whatever the case might be. Administration is everything that you do to track your numbers and stats. And then leadership is everything that you do to plan your business, to build your team, and move it forward, right? It moves all the other spokes. So after we did that book, then I then wrote this book called The Five Secrets of a Phenomenal Business, because Michael Gerber said that the secret is the system, and I wanted to go a little bit deeper on each one of the systems than we did in Born to Win. And it's Alexis, right? You just got done with this book. Would you recommend it?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right. So I'd like to give away a copy of that here in a little bit as well. All right. So we're going to start with marketing. And if you'll open up your books to, I think that's page 7, right? Okay. Page 7. Marketing is everything that you do to attract prospects to your business. Everything you do to attract prospects to your business. But then there's something called phenomenal marketing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. By the way, we're going to go through each one of these areas: marketing, sales, operations, administration, leadership, step by step, so that you get the whole picture. I know that some of you don't necessarily need marketing or sales. You need more on the leadership part, or you need more on the systems part. Some people in this room need marketing. So pick up what you can in the areas that you're already strong in. And here's the other thing, is that we are going to go through an assessment for each and every one of these areas. And Tom and I have administered this assessment, this business assessment, all over the world, with small companies, billion-dollar companies, and everything in between. You'll get a ton out of that. Phenomenal marketing delivers a meaningful experience. And underline these words: that educates, engages, and entertains. That's the three E's of experience right there. We'll unpack that as we go. A phenomenal marketing system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. Now, I want to give away one of my books. What's your definition of marketing? What would you say that marketing is? Okay. See,
I just wanted one of those books.
That, right. So see, but you're catching on to the clue, right? The first person with their hand up, even if they don't have anything to say. He doesn't even have to say anything. I just want to get response, right? Okay. And so the thing is that I want interaction, all right? And we'll give away some more stuff as we go.
We're trying to locate qualified candidates to come into our business.
As prospects or staff members?
For prospects.
Okay. Yes, qualified candidates, right? Okay. So marketing is everything that you do to attract prospects to your business, right? So we've got it. My pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate you, the fact that somebody actually wants that. So I'm going to take you through the 7 M's of phenomenal marketing. The first one is your marketing mindset, understanding what marketing is, what does it do, why is it important? And by the way, how do you know if your marketing is working?
Track it,
that's right. And that you have sales, right? You at least have prospects. Now, there's a tremendous difference between marketing and sales, as we'll get into here in just a second. So the first one is your marketing mindset, all right? Again, marketing is everything that you do to attract prospects to your business. Phenomenal marketing delivers a meaningful experience that engages, educates, and entertains. the old days are over where you just put your name and company out there. You've got to give the benefits. You've got to engage with them. You know, today so much is digital, so much is video. It's got to be engaging, and you got to create an experience. Nothing happens in a business until a sale is made, and sales don't happen until marketing is done. Profitable sales cure all other business evils. The only function of marketing is to increase sales, and there's only three ways to increase sales under the sun. Doesn't matter what you do, all right? And one of them is dependent upon a certain factor. For example, the first one is get a higher price. So if you're able to charge a higher price for what you do and you don't lose any sales volume, is your top line going to go up? Yes. If you raise your price 20% and you lose 20% of your sales volume, are you making less or more money? If you raise your price 20%, lose 20% of your sales volume, are you making less or more money?
Making less.
Making less?
Or more, depends.
Profit. I'm talking profit now. You making more or less profit? You raise your price 20%.
About even out.
What's that? You're making more because of your cost of doing business, right? Okay. Now, the case could be made for lowering your price and getting enough sales volume, right, to offset that. So it kind of depends on larger businesses, you might be able to do that. Smaller businesses, you need to think about charging a little bit more, right? Because you could lose a tremendous amount, depending on your cost of sale, you could lose a tremendous amount of sales volume and still make the same or more money, okay? All right, number two, we can get more clients. And number three, one of the most powerful ways is to get more from existing clients. By the way, what's your favorite way to get new clients?
Word of mouth,
right? Referrals. That's right, we're gonna talk about that today. Number two is your phenomenal money. Your phenomenal money. That's the second M of phenomenal marketing. You know, Zig said that money is not the most important thing in life, but it is reasonably close to oxygen on the gotta have it scale. When you need it, when you need to make that sales goal, right, when you need to break even, then that money, that sale is very important, right? When you look at that financial spoke on the wheel, it affects everything else, doesn't it? It affects our relationships, it affects our lifestyle, it affects everything. So money might not be the most important thing in life, but your business can't survive without it. Your business can't grow without it. In order to have a significant bottom line, you need to have a significant top line. All right? So question. You don't have to answer this. I'm not giving away any books. You might not want to tell anybody this because most people in this room probably will have to say no on this. But the question you want to ask yourself is, do you have a written, planned sales goal? Next question, how did you come up with it? And by the way, how much are you planning on investing in your marketing and where are you going to put those dollars? All right? Yes, ma'am.
When you're talking about a written plan sales goal,
yep.
Are you talking about like a statement or like a Excel spreadsheet?
What I'm talking about,
a spreadsheet.
Okay.
On what my projections, what I would like for them to be.
Okay.
Over the next, but I'm not sure that that's actually a sales goal that you're talking about.
Yep, that would be a goal. It'd be a goal as long as you intend on reaching that goal.
Right.
Right. So what you want to do is you want to forecast your sales for the year. So you want to determine what your annual sales goal is, break it down by the month, break it down by the day. Then if you need to break that down by service, department, or whatever, then you want to, because everybody on your team needs to know what the sales goal is, right? They need to know what their production goal is, right? And that's the idea, is that then you can share that with your team and then you can put together the strategies that you need to reach that sales goal. All right? Now, question is, how do you come up with that sales goal? The way you come up with that sales goal is first you decide what your bottom line needs to be. When you read your income statements, this is just a very simple way to look at it. But every company in the world, it doesn't matter what size your business is, there's only five numbers on the income statement. You've got your sales, you've got your cost of goods sold. Hopefully you know what your percentage is there of your consumables, what that runs on a regular basis, right? And then you've got your gross profit, then you have your fixed expense, which this doesn't necessarily change that much. In other words, that's going to be there. Your overhead's going to be there. You have three stores, right? Resale stores. You have to pay the rent, the same amount of rent. I'm assuming you rent those stores. Do you own those stores?
No, they're rented, and it's three very different amounts.
Okay. But it's the same amount every month, okay, right?
Yes.
Whether you do a dollar, whether you're open or closed or whatever, that's still going to be there. You got your overhead. Then you got your net. So what I teach people to do is start with the bottom, right? Start with your net first. How much does that company need to make? How much are you going to take out of that company? How much are you going to reinvest? So on and so forth. Then it's very simple to go in there and see what your fixed expense is running. And on your 12-month forecast, your pro forma for the next year, you can go in and do every line item. Is our insurance going up? Is our rent going up? Are we going to have to move? And, you know, what does that look like? That gives us our gross profit. And then if we figure out what our cost of sale is, what that percentage is, we could do a very quick calculation of what that sales goal needs to be. Now, what I personally do is we take about 3 days. And my companies, like I have a company that does about $3 million a year. We work with companies that do as much as $20 million a year. And we work with all size companies. But that little company there, we invest 2 full days every year. Just the budget and the pro forma is already lined up. We just spend 2 days going through it and creating our strategy for the next year. We do that in October so that January 1, we're hitting the ground running, right? So next week, I have my team coming to my house in Florida, and we're going to just spend 2 days just fleshing that out for 2016, so we're ready for 2016. And I do that for all of my companies. I've owned 9 small companies altogether. I own 4 today. So that's just a simple way to do it. A lot of the businesses that we work with are under $1 million a year, and so these are, you know, or under a couple million, I should say. And so these are kind of basic things. That this is a basic outline, thumbnail sketch, and then once you get into your financials, you can get into the details there. Okay, but that's kind of the overview. All right. You're going to learn the methods that we have for marketing. I'm going to teach you those. And one of them is called experiential marketing that I mentioned earlier. How many of you want to dominate your market? We call that get rich in the niche, right? Because if you try to be everything to everybody, you won't be anything to anybody, right? Instead of being a little minnow in a big ocean, you want to be a big fish in a small pond. Not a mean fish, just big fish, right? So Gary Keller, I've been studying under Gary Keller. He started Keller Williams. And how many of you have the book, The One Thing? Have you read that book? It's a phenomenal book. It's called The One Thing. The One Thing. And one of the lies that business owners tell themselves is that big is bad, right? It's not necessarily bad. What size should your business be? The one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. So it should be the size that fits that goal. It might be huge. In my case, it's not. Because what's more important to me is my lifestyle and what I do. And I've got all kinds of ideas and strategies and systems that I could go. But we're personally debt-free. We don't need to build a big business. And I don't want to go and do all the things that I would need to do that. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I love doing. If you want to dominate your market and get rich in the niche, you've got to position yourself properly. This man right here, his name is Jack Trout. He's the world authority on differentiation and positioning. You have to understand what's different about your company, and you got to understand positioning, right? So this book, Positioning, is all about creating differentiation. In fact, let's do a little exercise real quick. And think about this for a second. Imagine that there's a file cabinet, right? All of you have competitors, right? Okay. Except for, is it Rhonda? Except for maybe Rhonda, but if you're in a new industry, maybe you don't have a lot of competitors yet, but most people have competitors, right? So when, imagine that there's a file cabinet, and I want you to pull up a picture of your perfect client, all right? The one that maybe it's your biggest account or your favorite account, they pay their bills on time, and has everybody got a picture? Okay. Now there's a whole bunch of people just like them, right? And when your industry comes up in their mind, it's like a file cabinet. So there's a file folder, and on that file folder is where I buy children's clothing. On that file folder is who do I get to come in for training? You know, on that file folder is what's the plumber that I call? In fact, I got a great story about that plumbing, right? And when they pull up that file, your name better be on that file. But what experiential marketing is all about is filling that file up. So let's do a quick exercise. Get your pens out. And I'm going to make a couple of statements. What you're going to do is write down the first thing that comes to mind. Don't say it out loud. Just write it down. Okay? You ready? When I say, don't say it, just write it down. The first thing that comes to your mind. When I say laundry detergent, what? Write down the brand that first comes to mind. What was the picture that you saw? Nate, let's start with you.
Tide.
Tide.
Zest.
Zest.
Tide.
Tide. Tide. Tide. How many of you said Tide by a show of hands? Let me see your hand. Now keep your hands up. Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Keep your hands up. If you know for a fact that you use Tide, keep your hands up. But if you don't know for sure, let your hands down. Look at that. Almost half the hands went down. So that was the name that, you can put them down now. That was the name that was on the file, right? But there's something called competition. There's other people in that file. Your name was on the file, but I opened the file and, man, there's other people. And, well, maybe I could, right? You got to dominate that file. That's called positioning. I don't know what we use. Sometimes the bottle's orange, sometimes it's blue. I just hope I don't put too much detergent in there, right? I just put a little bit. All right, let's try another one. Soft drink. Don't say it, just write it down real quick. All right, we'll start on this side. First brand, Coke. 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 Mountain Dew. Now, if Tom was in the room right now, okay, we've been doing this long enough, he doesn't have to worry about me, so now when they sit there and watch you the whole time, they're either learning or checking on you, you know, one of the two. But anyway, he'd always say, and this is, I think this is like the first time that he hasn't been in on this session when I've been here, so he's got a ton going on, but he always goes, Tab. It's like, do they even make that stuff anymore, you know? So, just between us, okay? I have a carton of Tab in my trunk, okay? So later on, at some point, I'm going to sneak him in here, and we're going to put them all over the tables for him, okay? So when he comes in, he'll see them, all right? Anyway, okay. Did you like his bad jokes, by the way? Okay. We worry about you if you did, all right. So the point is that you got to be in their mind, right? You got to be in that file, all right? Now, positioning and domination come from being unique and creating, marketing, and delivering a unique experience, all right? Let's look at three brands. Whole Foods started as one store in Austin, Texas. They saw that there's a trend of people who are interested in natural foods. They decided to dominate that market. And 2014, I haven't seen the final numbers, but they were on track to do about $16 billion. That's a B, not an M. $16 billion. All right? Why? Because they created a unique experience around shopping at the grocery store. Starbucks created a unique experience around coffee, a commodity that's been around for who knows how many thousands of years, you know, since coffee was, I mean, you can get it anywhere. It's a commodity. Is there a unique experience owning and riding a Harley-Davidson, right? Any motorcycle owners in the room? Okay. A couple of you? Could be good, could be bad, just depends, right? What's the unique experience that you bring to your industry? What's unique about you? What's that unique experience, right? Because all three of these companies have created, marketed, and delivered a unique experience. Being unique means that you can charge more. If you create, market, and deliver a unique experience properly, you can charge more. Why is that important to you as a small business owner? You need the revenue. Why?
Because
I don't have any and I need some, right? I mean, that's just to the point, right? The one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your... So if I have a life goal, but I don't have the amount of money that I need to fund that lifestyle, that life goal, and my primary source is my business vehicle, not working, right? That's the point. Yes, sir.
Is this synonymous with like what's your unfair advantage?
Yes. Yep, you bet. I mean, I would imagine that, in fact, we're going to look at Starbucks here in just a minute, but I would imagine that every competitor that these companies have are just going, this is unfair, right? I mean, Whole Foods doesn't think it's unfair, right?
Now, when they actually grew, when the economy kind of hit the tank in
2008,
mm-hmm. and I did a little bit of looking into them to see what caused them to have such growth.
Yep.
During an economic downturn.
Yep.
And what they're crediting their growth with is sticking to their core values.
Bingo. That is so huge right there that most of us just dismiss and we don't pay enough attention.
That. I don't know how you can run a business without identifying that first.
Yep. We're going to talk about that. But think about Whole Foods for just a second. What's the reason that the average person doesn't go to Whole Foods? Right. I personally love to go to Whole Foods myself. I mean, I don't like everything about Whole Foods, but the thing is that they've got everything that I want, natural foods and everything. But one thing I don't understand is you sell all this natural food and then you got pizza right there that's just irresistible. I mean, that gets me every time. But I don't even look at the bill. I just, you know, that's, my wife's like, well, you could go to the grocery store, you could go to HEB or Sam's or Kroger or whatever. I don't want to go to three places on a Saturday. You know what I mean? I mean, right, guys? Guys are like, how quick can I get in here and how quick can I get out, right?
That's right.
Right? Well, how much was it? I don't know. Starbucks, how much can you spend on a cup of coffee?
A lot. Yeah.
So as a marketing guy, I decided to find out, right? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it.
It's a challenge to try to increase my bottom line when.
Right, but they will pay you more. Even low income people will pay you more for the right experience. Okay? And so we'll unpack that as we go. I'm giving you principles, examples right now, and we're going to have plenty of time to really, you know, I want to talk to you at lunchtime. I want to talk to you on breaks. I want to talk to you tonight. And I want to make sure that everybody that's here you leave with one thing that you're just saying, you know, that's one thing that I didn't have when I got here that I can take back, right? So the majority of small businesses can really, really, many small business owners are afraid to charge too much because they think that nobody's going to do business with them, and instead they stay broke and in debt and a slave to their business, right?
Very false.
What's that?
Very false.
It's false, exactly. So Starbucks, as an example, you know, I decided to try to find out how much you could spend on a cup of coffee, and this is kind of, I think some of you have already figured out, you know, you're kind of going to be stuck with a crazy guy for a couple of days, but Tom will be back tomorrow. You know, he'll be doing a session, so don't worry. But I walk into Starbucks, and I say, yes, I want to buy your most expensive cup of coffee. And they're like, okay, well, that would be, they already know what it is. It's the venti salted caramel macchiato. So, okay, well, how much is it? $6.25. And I'm like, can you make it more expensive? Probably hadn't been asked that before, right? What do you mean? Well, could you add some shots to it? And oh, sure, we could do that. Well, how many could you add? Well, as many as you want. I know, but the cup is only so big, so they figure that out, right? And then almost without fail, someone comes from behind the counter and says, well, you know, you could add pumps, you could add flavors, right? And the most expensive cup of coffee that I've been able to find so far was $48.23. They got it rung up. Now, I didn't pay for it because, and I've done this at least 25 times, every episode ends the same way. I'm like, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. You know what, I'll just have a tall cappuccino. Yeah, and they don't like that very much. But then I give them a tip and it's okay, right? But, you know, they're like, well, you know you're not going to be able to drink it, right? And I'm like, I don't want to drink it. I just want to buy it, right? There's a guy on the internet that got his up to like $97 or something like this, and he drank it. I'm like, dude, you'll kill yourself, right? And I'm just doing it just to see if they'll actually ring it up and take my money, and they were willing to do that, right? But here's the thing. Starbucks. There's some things I hate about the Starbucks company, but from a business model, check this out. They came out of nowhere because they created a unique experience around coffee, grew from nothing to a multi-billion dollar worldwide iconic brand. And they did it without advertising. They did it by marketing and delivering a unique experience around coffee, something that had never been done before. If you want to read a great entrepreneurial story, read a book called Pour Your Heart Into It by Howard Schultz. He's the CEO of Starbucks. And then when Starbucks was suffering a little bit and closing stores and Howard Schultz had to come back, another phenomenal book is called Onward by Howard Schultz. I think it's called Onward. Great, great, great book. Harley Davidson, are they trying to be the cheapest motorcycle around? How much can you spend on a Harley? We're doing a leadership workshop up in Colorado Springs, and we have coaching clients down in South Florida. And this couple loves Harleys, and they built a 17-day vacation around this leadership retreat that we were doing and drove their Harley all the way up from South Florida to Colorado Springs, and he wanted me to see his bike. So I went outside the hotel, and he had it all covered up. There was a trailer and everything, and he takes the cover off of it, and I was like, wow, Chris, that's a nice bike. How much you got into this thing? He said, $65,000. I was like, dude, you know what kind of car you can get for $65,000? I mean, and you could be on the inside, right, with air conditioning. When it starts raining, there's something called windshield wipers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, but it's top of line, Screaming Eagle, and had the trailer custom painted and everything. The point is that some people will pay you more for the right experience. This is Whole Foods. Healthy living classroom, cooking classes, nutritional lectures, fitness. What does that have to do with a grocery store? That's a unique experience. And you can learn about this, and there's a number of books out there. My good friend Joseph Michelli wrote The Starbucks Experience. And this book right here, one of the first ones that I read was this one, Experiential Marketing. And then what's the first word on Starbucks' main brochure? Experience, right? And this book here, The Experience Economy, look at that subtitle right there, Work is Theater and Every Business is a Stage. Let me share a lesson from that book about coffee. When coffee's exchanged on the commodities exchange, it's about $1 a pound. Whenever you grind it up, put it in a can, or put the beans in a bag or whatever, and it appears at the grocery store shelves, about how much is coffee at the grocery store per pound?
$6 or $7?
$10? $8? The range is somewhere between $2.99, store special, lowest quality coffee, on up to $10, $12, $15 a pound, depending on what? The brand. Guess what? A $6 a pound coffee and a $10 a pound coffee might be the same coffee inside. The only thing that's different is the packaging and how people feel about that brand. So my question to you is, how's your brand? How's your packaging? Then you go down here to Denny's and you get a cup of coffee, right? How much are you going to pay for one cup of coffee at Denny's? $1, what's that?
You buy eggs, nothing.
You're right. But if you buy just a cup of coffee, $1.50, how many cups of that weak coffee can they make from a pound of coffee, right? The answer?
A lot,
yes. And that's what I used to say before I found out, and then I found out how many. 60 to 80 cups. That's a lot of cups of coffee.
Out of what?
Out of a pound of coffee. So the price for coffee went up because you're really not paying for coffee at that point in time. What are you paying for?
Experience.
Well, really, you're paying for a service. I don't think the experience of going to Denny's is, you know, probably, you know, off the charts. But the point is that you're paying for somebody to brew it for you. If you go to the convenience store, you're paying for somebody to brew it for you and have it available for you when you want it, right? This is the second clue of how you differentiate your company is through service. What's unique about your service? Anybody could fix, well, not anybody, but almost anybody could fix a broken pipe or whatever. They could do a good job with the plumbing, but do they show up on time? Are they clean and sober when they show up? Do they treat the customer nice, right? And then, of course, the ultimate is the experience, and that's what you get at Starbucks or when you go to Italy and have a cappuccino outside of one of those great places over there. Here's Baltimore Airport, 63 people in line at 6:30 in the morning, waiting in line to pay the highest price for a cup of coffee. Now, there's a disclaimer here. There's a couple other coffee companies in this wing of the airport that were closed at that hour. Why are you going to be closed at 6:30 in the morning when people are there to get on an airplane and that's when people want coffee? There's a couple reasons. One is that Starbucks gets all the business. Another one is, well, you know, we don't really make money that first hour of the morning. You know, we don't make profit. And by the way, our employees don't like to come in that early anyway. Has anybody here ever dealt with that one?
No.
I know I have. Okay. All right. But here's what Starbucks understands. They understand branding. They understand the branding experience. They understand that those 63 people are going to leave that line and they're going to walk onto an airplane that has several hundred people on it, and they're going to have something very important in their hands. Rhonda. No, that's okay. Can I borrow your cup? Okay. Thank you very much. What Starbucks understands is they understand that file. They understand that that file is going to be tattooed. There's going to be a green tattoo on that forehead. That's what they understand. And then somebody on that plane that wasn't willing to stand in line is going to be like, I'll kill you for that cup of coffee right there. I'd pay you $100 for that. You know what I mean? I mean, they want it even worse because they didn't get it. That's what Starbucks understands. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. I was at Dallas Love not too long ago coming up here to Ziegler. Saw the same thing. But what's interesting about this photograph here is look at all these people waiting for Starbucks, right? Now notice over here that there's three or four cappuccino and espresso machines over here. And the employees just standing around twiddling their thumbs. So Crazy Howard is early for his flight, and I decided to interview some of those people.
La Madeline?
That's La Madeline, yeah.
Yeah, that's who you interviewed.
No, 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 I interviewed the people in line right here. And I said, did you know that they have coffee right here at this place right here? And you should have seen their body language. It went, I got to have my tall Frappuccino extra dry with a couple of sprinkles on it. You know, whatever. One lady was from Norway, and she said, oh, every time I try, I always go to Starbucks. That's positioning, right? Poor La Madeline. I mean, but do something. I mean, don't just... Now, I'm sure when lunchtime comes that, you know, La Madeline probably gets enough business or whatever. They're not necessarily in the coffee business, but I wouldn't be able to stand it if I had that line my competitor was out there. There's a guy in Kansas City that decided to do something about this. Tom and I go to Kansas City to do a one-day program, and it was held at the training room at a place called the Roastery, all right? And at the Roastery, this picture right here is actually looking from the training room. So just imagine that this whole wall right here was a glass wall, and inside they're bringing in the bags of coffee beans. They're roasting them, and they're packaging. That all happens right there. So this guy with the Roastery built a local brand, and when you talk about Starbucks in Kansas City, they're like, no, 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 you don't understand. Here in Kansas City, it's the Roastery. And I'm going to share with you in just a minute how they did that. It's very powerful, and it's a concept that you want to take note of. All right, the third M of phenomenal marketing is your phenomenal mission. Are you passionate about what you do? Are you transferring that passion over to your team members? What difference does what you do make? If your business didn't exist in the world today, what would be missing? How does it make a difference in the lives of your clients? That's how you build your mission statement. What you want to have is you want to have a phenomenal mission statement that's one sentence, all right? And the way that you come up with that is you think about what unique problem do you solve? The reason I have a koala bear there is because Steve McKnight, that Tom mentioned earlier, the guy that we go over there and speak for from time to time, top real estate investing author in Australia. The second time that I went over there, Tom couldn't go because Zig had fallen ill and ended up passing away while I was over there. And Steve got involved, and these were all his clients. So he did a little presentation, and I'll never forget this. He said, what unique problem do you solve? Not just what problem do you solve, but what unique problem do you solve? So this guy had a business where he fixed dents. He said, well, I fix people's, you know, dents and scratches in their car. And he said, no, you don't. What unique problem do you solve? Well, so they unpacked it. It's an image problem. It's a lifestyle problem. You know, all these kinds of things. In my companies, there's two problems that we solve. I have a service company in Houston, Texas, does about $3 million a year, and we service some of the wealthiest people in the Houston area, world leaders, celebrities, people like that. Their problem has nothing to do with the technical work that we do for them. Their problem is they need to, their unique problem is they've got a lot to risk in their homes, and they need to have the peace of mind to know that whoever's in their home they can trust. You guys have visiting angels, right? It's huge, right? And the unique problem is that has nothing to do with the technical work has to be there, the care has to be there. But they got to know that you got the best reputation, that you've got the experience, that they have the peace of mind to know that I'm making the right choice. So we have a simple mission statement: to provide the most outstanding service experience ever. And I'll unpack that just a little bit. In our coaching, the unique problem that we solve is small business owners feeling like a slave to their business. We could do just marketing. We could do just finance. But the reason that we combine the wisdom of Zig and the personal development and all these areas of the business is because they're all related and they all contribute to being a slave to your business. So that's what we hone in. You don't feel like a slave to your business, well, we can help you, but at the core of what we do, and like you said, focusing on that mission, that's our core. Now, we do a number of different other things like consulting and things like that for people who are a little bit larger and maybe they don't feel like a slave to their business, but they're dealing with, you know, how do I transfer this to the next generation, or, you know, we do leadership and those kinds of things. But the unique problem that we focus on is small business owners being a slave to their business. Are you passionate about solving that problem? What unique experience can you provide that will help them? And are you passionate about providing that experience? And by the way, do people want it? You ever watch Shark Tank? And there's nothing wrong with starting out, right? But if you've been in business for 15 years and you did $7,000 total in 15 years, we got a problem. And the problem is either the business owner or maybe nobody wants what it is that you're offering, okay? Have you run into the life coach of the day, right? I mean, it's like probably nobody wants to do business with you. That might be the problem, okay? So you got to think about that. So we have a simple mission statement, and our service company is to provide the most outstanding service experience ever. We hire to it, we fire to it, we coach to it. And when we get into coaching tomorrow, it's all about the mission, not me against you or anything like that. And then at Phenomenal Products, at my training company, is to help small business owners stop being a slave to their business. That's what we do in Ziegler coaching, right? Do you have a question or comment?
I was just curious if you Colonel knew John? What the that guy used for his business did.
Who?
The man you said had, he was the dent repair man. You know what
he No, was? I don't remember. There was, I'll tell you a little bit about that story later on. It was a 5-city tour in 7 days, and there was 70 to 100 people in each room. So it was, everything was happening pretty fast. So I don't remember what he came up with. We did come up with a mission statement for him, and that was several years ago too. But Mary Kay, she was, by the way, very influential in Zig's career. Their mission statement is to enrich the lives of women worldwide. What do you think Starbucks' mission statement is? To inspire the human spirit. Does that have anything to do with coffee? Isn't that crazy? Right? Now, they've changed that mission statement. It used to be to be the world's premier purveyor of the finest coffee or something like that, which is more of a vision statement in my mind than a mission statement. Oh, there's more to that mission statement. One person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. They have 6 guiding principles. Tomorrow when we get into mission, values, and purpose, you'll find that you'll need those values or those guiding principles to uphold your mission statement. All right. Number 4 is your phenomenal target market. You've got to understand everything that you can about your target market. Law number 1 in marketing is know thy customer, right? Know everything that you can about them. How old are they? What gender? Psychographics, how do they buy? What's their lifestyle? Are you after corporate, small business, low income, medium income, high income, everything that you need to know about them. More importantly, what motivates them? What do they want? What do they need? What are their frustrations? My friend David Fry, marketing consultant, says that in every industry, if you're B2B, every industry, and even business to customer in many ways, there are 3 problems associated with your industry that are never solved. You got to understand what those problems are. Let me ask you this. What's the emotion? Understanding the emotion of your target market is key. What's the emotion of a soon-to-be bride?
Excitement.
And what else? Right? Is that true? You know, you're excited about getting married, but you're worried that maybe everything's not going to go well at the wedding. Ladies, can I ask you guys a question? Okay, that are married? Okay. If I'm working on your wedding and I only focus on this, but I miss this. She's already shaking her head. Marriage ain't gonna work, right? We want to make sure that everything goes well, so that's what you get, right? So if we don't even, if we overlook this, oh, it's gonna be great. No, uh-uh. This is where you connect. This is where you separate yourself, because everybody else is talking about this. You need to talk about this. This will become more clear as we go. In fact, let's get into the message, your phenomenal message. Number 5, the 5th M of phenomenal marketing is your phenomenal message. Do you have a message that resonates with your prime target market? How many of you have heard of a USP? Unique selling proposition. That's a good thing, because that's the old days. That's old marketing. I've changed it for the marketing world. Instead of being a USP, you want a UEP. What is the unique experience that you're going to provide that's going to connect with that emotional state, that's going to create an experience? What's the unique experience that you're going to create that will help them to have that outcome that we saw with the bride? So, does that make sense? What's your unique experience proposition. It starts, by the way, with your mission. Our mission, for example, is to help small business owners stop being a slave to their business and transform it into a predictable, profitable, turnkey operation. There are five things that set us apart, and these are the five things that will set you apart, that people will stand in line for you, pay you more money, or wait for you, like we saw in the Starbucks picture just a second ago. Number one, do you have a phenomenal reputation? Can you be trusted? Look, you don't get to be the exclusive small business coach for the Zig Ziglar Corporation if you don't have a phenomenal reputation. We had a guy who was thinking about our coaching, and he went home, and he said, you know, I just have to tell you that this is just how I am. I'm a little bit negative. And he said, I was determined to find some dirt on you. So he said, I searched the internet for hours. He said, I finally gave up. Zig Ziglar made it 86 years without a blemish on his reputation, right? Experience. What's your experience in this space? And what does that mean to the target audience? Okay? Started my first business over 30 years ago out of the trunk of my car. For the past 20 years, I've been helping small business owners around the world revolutionize their businesses. Third is education or training. What specialized knowledge, certifications, training, or whatever do you have that you can bring to that client? For me, studied under the best. Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, Michael Gerber. We're going to do something really fun after lunchtime today. This will help you in marketing. It'll help you in leadership. It'll help you in sales. It is off the charts, phenomenal. And I have a certification in it that I'll tell you about a little bit later. Systems, what unique delivery? I'm going to share with you a little bit later on in the program, the 9 steps to creating, marketing, and delivering a unique experience. What's your delivery? How's it different than the next person? And then finally, what's your guarantee? What's your commitment? What do you do if I'm not satisfied, right? Because how many of you know how you handle an unhappy customer is going to go right back to your reputation, right? Yeah, you bet. So that's what we call our 5-point marketing message. All right? I'm going to give you the simplest, easiest way to learn how to write marketing copy that you've ever heard before. And here's why we need to be able to do this. Because when you create a brochure, when you create a website, when you create a Facebook post, when you create a tweet, when you talk to people about your company, you got to understand the parts of delivering the right message. All right, so there's 3 components. Number one is you got to have a phenomenal headline. Example, stop being a slave to your business and transform it into a predictable, profitable, turnkey operation. Example, how to double your sales in the next 90 days or less, guaranteed, or your money back. Is that a pretty good headline? Yes. So what's the emotional headline, the benefit-laden headline that you could attach to your business? You need to write 50 headlines to get the right one. Number 2, phenomenal body copy. That's everything that comes after the headline. You guys said you're doing a lot of direct advertising, right? Radio? TV? TV, okay. So a television commercial comes on, that headline has to grab me, and then the body copy has to engage me, right? So that body copy's got to be emotional. We've got a service company in Houston, and you could borrow this if you wanted to. We have to learn more about your company, but I work with a lot of service companies around the world, right? And in your business, the danger is that Bubba might show up, right? Yeah. Right? So avoid uneducated, uninformed, and sometimes downright unscrupulous plumbing companies. Instead, get the most phenomenal service experience ever with
Pure
Plumbing. All right. We'll help you avoid all of that. Download our free report at, and that is your call to action. I'm going to teach you what we call a free trial offer that you can use as your call to action, and that'll put people on the list. I'll share that with you in a little bit. Okay? Number six is your phenomenal methods. So when we get back, I'm going to share with you the fastest growth tool on the planet, how small business owners around the world right now are creating record sales and profits in their business, the biggest marketing mistake of all, how to close more sales. Is that good so far? Is that?
That'd be fantastic.
All right. Okay. Sounds what?
Phenomenal.
That's right. Better than phenomenal. All right. Questions or comments before we break? Yes.
I have a phenomenal question.
Okay. A phenomenal question.
Several times you mentioned you started the business out of the back of your car.
Yes.
GM told us what it was and how you grew it. And I think everybody in this room wants to know how you did that.
I'm going to tell you how I did that. Okay. You're going to hear more about that than you want to know. Okay, we're just getting warmed up. It's kind of like going to the amusement park, right? So you're ticking up. Right now we're just ticking up the roller coaster, right? And then we're going to get to the top and we're going to start doing this. Yes, sir?
How did you get Don Maxwell to mentor you?
I paid him a lot of money. The question was, how did I get John Maxwell to mentor me? I paid a lot of money. It's worth it, though. Leave you with this to think about during lunchtime, okay? Get around people who have already done what you want to do and connect with them. Doesn't matter what it costs, because you got to look at the outcome. I paid him a lot of money. But it's worth it, because I can learn his business model. I can learn if I can correct a mistake that I'm making. You know, in business, we can make one little mistake that might cost us $1 million. So why wouldn't I invest
a lot of money
to either make or save a few million? That's how I think, and I've done that for a long time, and that's why I love doing what I do, because I see people go from nothing to. I got a guy who started with us. He was at zero, and they're at 10 million now. He'll get to 20 million before too long. It's just awesome to see that. You know, it's just awesome to see people coming in and not knowing anything about it and being a little bit, you know, nervous, and then just implementing that stuff. It's awesome. We got a guy right up here in Canton, Texas, went in just a year from like 11 million to 18 million. You know, and we've got people who have gone from zero to, or a couple hundred thousand to a million, a couple hundred thousand to a million and a half, a million to 3 million, and everything in between. So you can tell why I love what I do, right? So I'm thinking that we have lunch prepared for everybody here. Okay, this is my son Christian, by the way, everybody.
Get your calls done?
Yeah, so I believe that lunch is in the conference room where breakfast was, and I'm only assuming all of this because Lou came in and did this, so I'm assuming that lunch is here. Okay, so let's take 45 minutes for lunch. If you'll come back at, let's make it 12:50 according to that clock back there by the cameras, okay? Thank you all very much, and we'll see you back in just a bit.